Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk with the Rappahannock Area Health District this morning. Lots to talk about. It's also National Public Health Week, and we'll get into that as we go along. Allison Balmes-John is back with us. Allison, good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And for the first time, Madison Eberhardt from the Health District in this morning. Madison, good morning to you.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
We'll hear from you as we go along this morning, but how has COVID changed you and what you do with the Health Department?
So I actually started in the middle of COVID. I started in January, so things were definitely in full swing then. I was working at Mary Washington Hospital before that, so I always say it's kind of the other side of the same coin, the clinical and then now the more public health. So it's just given me a new perspective.
Boy, so all you've known by being part of the health district is COVID.
That's, yes, sir.
So when as things go on, it'll all be new, but that's interesting that it's you have seen this from a lot of different sides then.
Yes, for sure. And I think I jumped into the health department at a nice time. It was when vaccines were kind of just starting. So definitely hectic, but a good time to kind of get my feet wet and jump in so I can learn kind of from the beginning.
Allison, you and I have talked about this before where you were like a numbers person and working on a number of projects. And this came along and COVID sort of changed your life.
Yes, everything changed. I was going to be working on a community health assessment for Caroline County, and it had to completely go on pause because you can't do in-person meetings. And when you're working full-time on COVID, there's not time for another full-time project.
Well, we'll jump into this because this is a big day, at least as far as getting vaccines and shots in arms, because we move to a different the Rappahannock Area Health District moves into a different phase today.
Yes, we are very excited to be entering phase two, which opens up vaccines to the general public. So anyone age 16 and over is eligible for COVID-19 vaccination.
Boy, when we had looked at this at the beginning, and you know, there was talk that you know, we might be in the phase one part of this into April and May and into the summer. This is pretty exciting.
It's really exciting. And I think there was so much uncertainty at the beginning because we weren't getting as many vaccines per week. We weren't sure how many people were going to want the vaccine. But we've seen such a big increase in the allocation of vaccines in this area, and we're continuing to see really high demand for it, which is exciting in terms of moving forward and beyond the pandemic.
I remember a couple of months ago, you were sitting right here, and I think that was when the state had kind of come through and had said we were going to get even less. And so you were getting us all ready to the point of, we know the demand is there, but this is the number we have, and it looked kind of bleak early on.
Yes. January and February were a little bit tough because, you know, especially once we opened things up to older adults who were really, really anxious to get the vaccine. A lot of people who had been home for a full year, and we at the health department wanted to be able to provide those vaccines, and the allocation was just slow, and it took a long time to ramp up and have enough vaccinators, all these key components that have to go into doing this really mass vaccination process.
I was vaccinated over at the Expo Center and got the second shot there, and it was just seamless. You just walked in, you got it, you moved on, and you hear that everywhere, that really the systems that are down, no matter where you get your shot, you're going to get taken care of.
Yeah, that's great to hear. We're really proud of how smoothly it does go once you're there. I think it feels like this big, overwhelming task because it can be challenging to find where you need to go for an appointment, you know, which vaccine you're going to get. There's lots of information out there, but once you show up, you know, it's pretty simple. You will ask you a couple of questions, like if you've been exposed to COVID-19 recently or if you've gotten another shot, and then you check in, you're taken to a table to get your vaccination, and then you have to wait for 15 to 30 minutes just to make sure that there's no adverse reactions, and then If it's your first dose, you'll schedule your second dose and you're on your way. So most people are in and out in an hour. And half of that, you're just sitting and you can play around on your phone.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. And I wasn't nervous about getting the shot. I was anxious to get it. But I know driving up, you did have to thought, where do I go? Am I going to know where to go? At the Expo Center, it was very smooth. Like you say, you answered a couple of questions, then you got in line and you moved through there and you're taken care of.
Yeah, it's just a different setting to be getting a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, I get my flu shot at a grocery store.
Yep.
But for COVID vaccine clinics right now, you know, we're at a couple of YMCAs, we're at a church in Stafford County, we're at the Expo Center, and that's not where you think to go get any kind of medical care.
I liked it too at the Expo Center. They had a shirt on from Spotsylvania Fire and Rescue. The first one, the second one, I had. She told me she was a nurse somewhere, and I don't know. You just feel like you're part of the community when you get these.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's just taken so many different partnerships to make all of this happen in terms of responding to COVID and the vaccination process. But it's been key during vaccination. As you say, a lot of fire and rescue people are helping to actually administer the vaccine. Like, they're the vaccinators. And we have students at Germana that are supervised and able to provide those vaccines, as well as Medical Reserve Corps volunteers where, you know, they're able to vaccinate in their regular profession, and then they're doing this on the side to help out the community. So it's exciting to see all that come together in this big event.
So if I have not vaccinated yet and I want to, do I still need to sign up? Go to the state website and sign up?
Yeah, that's a great question. So going to vaccinate.virginia.gov is my recommendation to get on the list. You will then be contacted to schedule your vaccine. I will say, if you're 65 and up, we really want to get you in as soon as possible because that eligibility has been there for a while. And so if you go ahead and just call the health department, we will be able to schedule you an appointment within the next week or so. That number is 540-899-4797. And select option 0, it'll get you to the right person the fastest. So again, that's for anybody age 65 and older. We can go ahead and schedule you an appointment within the next week or so.
Boy, and we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the numbers. It really is important, especially if you're older, to get that vaccine right now. And don't wait.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone through this tiered approach, and we've been trying to get to people who are most at risk, either based on their age, where we know that COVID outcomes are a little bit worse, you know, based on age or medical condition. And then we're also trying to get to people who are at risk based on where they work, where they're around a lot of people in these frontline roles and these essential roles to kind of keep our whole society going. We wanted to focus on them first, but now we want to encourage everybody to sign up to get a vaccine.
It's interesting. Both of my parents were going to delay it. They kept saying, well, we'll wait till summer, and we don't feel as strong right now. And I kept saying, go get it. And they went and got it last weekend in another state. And they were, when I talked to them later that day, were just ecstatic and said it just changed their whole outlook on things. And there's something psychological about getting a shot.
I agree. So, I mean, I've had my vaccine, and it's really a feeling of relief. It's been a tough year mental health-wise. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have experienced high levels of stress and anxiety. And there is some relief to having that vaccine and feeling a little bit safer, even though if that hasn't been a main concern for you. I will say, we've been seeing that some people are getting a little too lax, especially after their first dose, when they don't have that full protection from the vaccine yet.
I was going to ask you about that.
And so it's really important to keep practicing social distancing, wearing your mask, especially until you're 2 weeks after your final dose of the vaccine. So 2 weeks after your second dose for Pfizer and Moderna, or 2 weeks after your first dose for Johnson & Johnson, since that's a single shot.
Somebody told me, a business owner downtown told me that when she got her second shot, she started crying. And she said the nurse said to her, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't think that hurt. And she said, no, I'm so happy to have this second shot. And I didn't cry, but I did feel in some way. You just all of a sudden you just sort of took a big deep breath. But like you say, you're still not there even once you've got that shot.
Yeah, exactly. That's so interesting to hear. But I it makes me wonder if they expected that, you know, when they went in to get their
shot. No, she told me she was so overwhelmed that it all of a sudden it just occurred at the time. And I just thought, oh, wow. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, just a big sense of relief after what's been a really hard year.
Yeah. It definitely has. Allison Baum's John and Madison Eberhardt with the Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning. Much more to talk about. The numbers have been going up locally, and we'll get into some of the reasons about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning. Now, Allison Baum's John and Madison Eberhardt from the Area Health District in this morning. Boy, Allison, the numbers, I find it so interesting because when you were in last month, right, I don't know, 6 weeks or so ago, the health department stopped. You would daily put out the numbers, and everything was just trending well, and it kind of slowed down. So there really wasn't. There was just you just did it a couple of times. Now we're back to every day seeing the numbers, and the numbers are kind of concerning. They were concerning yesterday. I noticed yesterday the hospitalizations went from, they'd been about 41 this week, and they were 47 yesterday.
Yeah, we did scale back in terms of putting those out every day on Facebook. We don't want to fearmonger, but yeah, we also want to make sure that the community has, you know, the information that they need. And unfortunately, the reality right now is that we are seeing cases. Cases have increased. Our percent positivity is at 9.6%, which is really quite high. And as you said, hospitalizations went up. This is not the trend we want to be seeing now that so much of our community has been vaccinated. And so we want people to be aware that COVID's still here. We all know the steps we need to take to keep ourselves safe with wearing masks, social distancing, washing your hands. And so we're just asking people to really stay true to practicing those behaviors for the next couple of months so that we can really push through this thing.
And I think some of us have gotten lax. I notice it sometimes when I've been downtown, or you see people in groups.
Yeah.
And you just want to get back.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to give this perception that, like, we don't understand the health department. We do. Like, it's been a long year. We're social beings. And
yeah,
so we want to be around each other. We're just asking that people find safer ways to do that. So masks remain a really great way to provide protection. It's been beautiful outside, although it's really not today.
Not today. But, yeah.
Yeah, you know, spending time with people outside and keeping that distance can be a really great option right now. And so just finding those ways that you can see each other and you know, enjoy your life, but also not be at risk of spreading the virus.
Because at this point, you don't want it, especially if you haven't been vaccinated yet, you don't want to get it at this late date.
Correct.
You just don't.
You don't. No. And we, I think we can all agree that we as a community want to move forward from it. And these are part of the steps that we need to be taking at this point. Vaccination is a great tool in our toolbox, but we shouldn't forget the other tools that we still have to prevent the spread of the disease.
No, and I had my sister in another state was waiting the day before she was to get vaccinated. She started having symptoms.
Oh, no.
And she ended up having it. And she kept texting me and saying, do what you can to avoid this. This is 30 times worse than any flu I've ever had.
Oh.
And you just think, it's still out there. We see these numbers. And when I see the daily numbers and of the number of new cases, and generally around here, they've been over 100 every day. That's pretty scary.
It is. Yeah. Even just looking, so today's April 9th. I wrote this down. On March 9th, we were seeing an average of 37 cases a day. And as of yesterday, we were seeing an average of 76 cases a day. So what that means is that it's continuing to spread. And so even though all the news coverage right now is on vaccines, that doesn't mean that COVID has just disappeared.
Boy, isn't that number is so interesting. And we've seen it. I hadn't looked back like that, but
it's double.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's showing something. And I think it's got to be the bulk of that is that we're not paying as close attention as we were a few months ago.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's been spring breaks, and mm-hmm. we're wanting to not just see our friends locally, we're wanting to go see people who are out of town, and just all these little things all can contribute to that greater spread. So we're just really asking that people, you know, find ways to stay safer. As we continue to see vaccine numbers go up, we should start to see these numbers go down. But again, we have to continue practicing social distancing, wearing masks, washing your hands. And if you're feeling sick, please stay home. Don't spend time around others.
All the basic things.
All the basics.
That we have been doing. And you hope that there are people out there that still are really hesitant and who keep saying, you know, I'm just not ready yet. But you hope that over time that they see that there haven't been the reactions to the – The vaccine has proven to be incredibly safe and effective.
Yes, exactly. And we've actually already started to see some of that. People who were in some of the first groups who were a little hesitant at that time, mm-hmm. We'll get emails that it's like a whole nother round of teachers that's ready for vaccination, or people who work in a certain healthcare office that now that they've seen all their coworkers got it and everybody's doing fine, and if they get exposed to COVID, they don't have to quarantine anymore. Then we start to see those people like, oh, did I miss my chance? Can I still kind of get my spot in line to get a vaccine? So we're definitely starting to see some of that.
And yes, you could still get your place in line.
You can. And if you're in one of those first few groups, we are really trying to prioritize you. So people who are in 1A, 1B, 1C, even though we've moved to general public and are opening this up to everyone to access the vaccine, if you are at higher risk due to age or medical condition or your occupation, you will still have some priority for getting that vaccine. We can get you in pretty quickly.
And you mentioned if you're 65 and older, you can call the health department and you'll get them signed up as quickly as possible.
Yes, we really want to get everybody in. And we know that, you know, not everybody's super comfortable with how much everything has been online in this process. So we're trying to overcome that a little bit with opening up that phone option.
Well, I know that when I got it at the Expo Center, everybody was spread out. There was all kinds of privacy, and you felt safe. And I even wanted, I knew I would be fine afterwards. And I think I told you, when they gave me my number, they gave me the time I could leave. I had figured, well, I don't need to do this. And so I was going to try to leave early, and I saw that somebody had my thinking, and they sent them back to sit down. So there's all kinds of safety. There's all kinds of safety precautions there, and you're going to be taken care of no matter where you get your shot.
Yeah, and we've seen some people who are concerned because, you know, they have been so careful over the last year, and so then going to this big vaccine site is a little bit nerve-wracking. We really try to space people out. When you get your vaccine appointment, it'll be a really specific time, like 9:42, which is, you know, that's not usually how we schedule things, but that's just so that we can spread people out. So we're encouraging, you know, there's no need to show up early. We really don't want you to show up more than a couple minutes early for your vaccine appointment so that we don't have a long line that's putting people at risk. And then even when you're in like that waiting period or when you're getting the shot itself, everything is spread 6 feet apart. It almost looks kind of funny to see all these chairs that are like exactly 6 feet apart in this big room.
Yeah.
But
well, we're getting there, boy. And you think about where we've mentioned earlier about where we've been and where we're at now, and we really you can see the finish line. That's what's exciting and probably a little bit frustrating as we look at these numbers, because every day I see those numbers and you kind of just sigh and just think, come on, we can do it.
Yes, and now there's so many numbers to look at, but there's some exciting numbers. We've had over 100,000 people that live within our health district that have gotten at least their first dose of vaccine. So for perspective, there's 375,000 people that live in the health district. But that over 100,000 have gotten their first dose of vaccine, that's a huge number, considering that we've only had vaccines available to anyone in the public since basically the beginning of January.
Yeah.
So it's been a quick process, but numbers like that are very exciting to track. It's the cases and hospitalizations and percent positivity that right now are really a little bit concerning to us at the health department.
Boy, and again, it, at the beginning, it looked those numbers and the numbers statewide and in the health district just seem so big compared to how many doses you had, and that has just flipped around. And so many are getting vaccinated every single day.
Yes, yes, exactly. We hear a lot across the state about these really large sites that are taking place.
Yeah.
Like there's one in Prince William, kind of in the Woodbridge area, that does over 3,000 doses a day, and that's a huge number of people to receive a vaccine. Even in our area, though, you know, we have days every week where we give 1,000 doses of vaccine in a day. The hospital has capacity to do 2,000 doses in a day, and so we're able to see those numbers continue to go up.
Well, I think back to last summer when it was really in the summer when you really started perfecting the testing and all of that, and you perfected that. You've done this. Wow.
Yes.
I mean, it has been quite a year for the Rappahannock Area Health District.
It has been quite a year. Yes, that's a good point. We did, you know, really kick off offering free testing last summer. Testing is still available. Again, even though it's not the big talk right now, the big talk is vaccines. The health department does still offer free testing on Friday afternoons at Dixon Park. It's available to anyone age 16 and over. So that's actually this afternoon. If you feel like you've been exposed or you're showing any symptoms, really easy option to just drive through and get that test. But, you know, testing in general is still widely available in our community. It hasn't disappeared just because it's not the newest thing anymore.
Rappahannock Area Health District, our focus. Allison Baumes-John is here along with Madison Eberhardt. It is National Public Health Week, and we're going to get into that when we come back and just hear about all the different things besides COVID that the health department is involved in. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff with the Rappahannock Area Health District this morning, as it always is. Allison Baumes-John and Madison Eberhardt here. It is a National Public Health Week, and I think, Allison, we all know a little bit more about the health department this year than we have maybe in other years.
Yes, it's definitely been a spotlight on public health this past year, but I think, as we'll talk a little bit more about, the health department actually does more than people realize, and we definitely do a lot more than COVID-19. It's taken up a lot of our time, but there's a lot of health issues that we're kind of working on behind the scenes, and National Public Health Week tries to shine a little bit of a spotlight on that.
It is, and Madison, when we think so often and think this is you know, all the, you know, the health department has something to do now, but the health department is always busy in just a whole number of areas, and I have learned in recent years areas that I didn't even know about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we offer a lot of services, and I know people are mainly thinking about just COVID and vaccines, which is totally understandable, but we are continuing our routine services during the pandemic. So in the last year, you know, we've provided WIC services to low-income, to over 5,200 people. We're still doing routine immunizations, family planning, cancer screenings. Everything is only by appointment right now for all health departments, so that's important to keep in mind. We're not doing walk-ins right now, but we continue to, you know, investigate communicable diseases. We're continuing to monitor food establishments, providing birth and marriage certificates, and then just, you know, monitoring data and health outcomes for all of our communities in the district.
I know, with the restaurants, that was a big deal and a big thing, and some of this you can't just totally push aside, and I'm sure you've had to kind of reallocate how much time you spend on some of these things.
Yes. So for some people who were assigned to, you know, food permitting, their jobs have shifted into COVID. But in 2020 alone, we still monitored over 2,000 food establishments. Mm. And we're still keeping up, you know, food permits for those businesses. We want them to be able to stay open while following the guidelines that are out around the pandemic. But we're still definitely continuing those routine services.
Boy, Allison, you think of what COVID has done, and it, hopefully as things start ramping down with this in the months ahead, I guess you're not to the point yet of looking at how do we kind of get back to normal, but won't that be nice?
It will be. It's hard to even imagine what we will all be doing once that comes around. But, you know, at its core, a lot of public health is just ensuring that the community, that the conditions in the community exist so that everybody can be healthy. And so a lot of times we think about health as this really individual choice, like I choose to exercise or I choose to eat well. But we also have to think about everything happening around us that contributes to our health. And so COVID's shined a spotlight on that. But also when we think about things like restaurants, you know, we like to eat out. It's beyond our control what that restaurant is doing. But we want to make sure that they're taking the steps so that people stay healthy when they're working or eating there. And so, you know, for the health department to be able to shift back to thinking really holistically about all of these things will be a nice shift to return to. And there will be no shortage of health and mental health issues to be addressed in the community, I think.
Well, in the health department also, you monitor, I mean, you keep an eye on the community and when things come up. And we saw that this week with the report of rabies you had it to a specific street and had put out some great information in the city this week.
Yeah, so we do want people, especially those that live in the city, to be aware. There was a cat that was identified who had rabies. This cat had bit somebody. That person reported it to animal control, which is what you really should do if you're ever in contact with an animal you don't know and you're not sure of if they've had the rabies vaccine. But so this was reported, the cat was identified to have rabies. So now a notification process is happening in that neighborhood. But it's a good opportunity to just provide a reminder that, you know, I've heard a lot this week of people who feel bad for feral cats that live in their neighborhood and they feed them. But really, we're encouraging you to stay away from animals that you don't know because of this risk.
Yeah, well, and it's also a good reminder that with your own animals, to make sure that they've been that they've had rabies shots.
Yes, exactly. I think that something that I've learned about rabies since I've started at the health department is that this is a disease that's fatal to humans and animals if it's left untreated. So, you know, for somebody who gets bitten by an animal that has rabies, they have to get this series of shots right away, because if rabies is left untreated and it goes too long, there is no treatment. It's always fatal. And so the shots can prevent that, but it's a little bit of a scary disease, and that's why we take this approach that we want all of our domestic animals to be vaccinated to prevent this.
Yeah, because you don't want to get into a situation if your animal hasn't been vaccinated and it gets bit.
Yes.
By a raccoon or a fox or something out
right.
there.
Right. Or another stray dog or cat or whatever it may be that we do see pretty frequently. You know, if you're on a walk in your neighborhood, you see other animals that
right.
you don't know.
Yeah, so. And it's a great reminder just about untreated. If you do get bit by something like that, you know, to make sure you get that checked.
Yeah. Calling animal control right away, going to the hospital, those are really the steps that you should take. It's not something that you just want to wait out and see what happens if you've had contact with an animal that you don't know.
Madison Eberhard, I didn't ask you because we talked about at the beginning of the show. We talked about how you'd gotten started in this. For you and what you do, I mean, to be working in public health like this has to be a real honor. I mean, especially this time of in this time, but at all times. I mean, you've decided to do this kind of thing, and to be now with the health district has got to be pretty exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting, and I like to say I'm just trying to be a sponge and kind of learning as much as possible. I like to think of public health in a very holistic view, and people in public health love the WHO definition of health. I know it's Allison's favorite, but that's health is a complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not just the absence of disease. And I think we're really seeing that throughout the pandemic, that we have a lot more to think about than just, you know, catching the virus, but also, you know, taking care of our social and mental well-being too. So it's an interesting time.
And that is, you think about just the whole, so many people have dealt with this differently, and whether it's adults or children, that's still another story to be written about this whole pandemic.
Yes, absolutely. And I think everyone will have their individual story of how they've adapted throughout the year. And what you were saying earlier about the business owner who was just overjoyed to receive her vaccine. I've visited all the sites in the counties, and we love seeing people get vaccinated just as much as we hope people love getting vaccinated, because this is what we're working on, and it does provide such a sense of relief. Because not only are you protecting yourself, but you're helping protect those around you.
Well, it's great to kind of shine the light on public health on a week like this, because before the pandemic, I mean, if you'd asked me, what does the health department do? I would have said, well, I know that they do the restaurants, and if I need a tetanus shot, I can sometimes get it from the, you know, I would have struggled to come up with a lot of what day to day that the health department does. But as you guys went through that list, it's pretty extensive.
Yeah, we definitely do a lot. And for National Public Health Week, they have daily themes for each day. So examples are rebuilding and strengthening community and elevating the workforce. We've definitely seen all of that outside of the pandemic. We're always doing, you know, community assessments and trying to see what different populations need and how we can just contribute to better health for each of our communities that we cover. But I think especially this week is really important to just tell everyone in public health that we really appreciate what they're doing. And that, you know, we appreciate them year round, but especially now.
Now, we talk about first responders and thanking them, and we have and we should. But this really is you all do. I mean, I think, Allison, of the great resource that I know for me and for others that the Rappahannock Area Health District has been, because especially if you go to the state site and it has all the numbers, and it is so confusing. I mean, you look at it and you do get a picture of what we're looking at. But you have made that. You have made just the daily numbers, that the little chart that we post every day or on the weekends when you kind of put these graphs together and we look at things and we see things what they are here. And to me, that's way more valuable than I know it's bad. And I know statewide what we're dealing with. But to see what we're dealing with in Fredericksburg, Stafford, Spotsylvania, King George, and Caroline, that is a great resource.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The VDH website, it has a ton of data, but
it's
overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. So a lot of what we wanted to do with that data is just translate it and make it feel more local for people, because mm-hmm. I think it's hard to look at these big national numbers and feel how that applies to you. But when you can see, you know, some of these trends of what's happened in our own community, I hope, and I'm glad to hear that has been something that's helpful.
Now, I've told you guys before that I follow some of the other locals, some of the more health districts that kind of bump into ours, and nobody's doing what the Rappahannock Area Health District is, and that really is it really is a help to see this on a daily basis. You get an idea of how each county is doing, and it's really good information.
Good. Well, thank you. Full credit to Mary Chamberlain, who manages our social media accounts, because she puts a lot of time into making sure that those numbers are available to everyone.
They are. They're perfect, and they're easy to read. And I mean, my favorite is the one on Saturday, when you break through in a very colorful way, as far as just literally different colors on these graphs for each locality, and you do see what kind of a week has it been in Spotsylvania, you know, King George, Caroline, you know, all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity for a plug. If you're looking for more information from the health department on COVID or on public health in general, Rappahannock Area's Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram are a great source of information. And we put a lot of it on our website, too, if you're not a social media person.
But all of you, in the numbers are, describe how the office is. Are you in one certain place, or do you have offices in each locality?
Yeah, great question. So in Virginia, we have health districts that in some parts of the state are just one city or county. In our area, they cover all of Planning District 16, so our little region of Fredericksburg, Caroline, King George, Spotsylvania, and Stafford. The Rappahannock Area Health District has a local health department in each of those localities. And then we also have a district office where more of our administrative staff is based. So it's kind of, we all fall under one big umbrella, but we have those six different locations. And then right now, we're even more spread out because we have so many staff working from home and working at the vaccine clinics.
I never thought about people continuing to work from home. And so that you talk, especially with what you do, that must be a challenge at times.
Yeah, I work from home about 4 days a week and go into the office one. And I will be curious to see what happens from here if everybody goes back. But for me, with the numbers that we're currently seeing, even though I've already had my vaccine, home is a safer option because mm-hmm. that means that we have less people that are going to the office on a daily basis. So haven't quite returned to that sense of normalcy yet.
Boy, Madison, you think of just the implementation, as we talked earlier and have talked about how the vaccine has gotten around, that you think about it statewide, you need to have a Rappahannock Area Health District that can coordinate how the vaccine is distributed, and that's how it's being done, and that's thanks to all of you guys.
Yeah, it's definitely a big undertaking, but we have a ton of partners in the district. We partner very closely with Mary Washington Healthcare at the hospital. We have partnerships with a lot of local pharmacies that are also distributing the vaccines. And then, of course, our staff and all the health departments, as Allison said, are just working tirelessly to try to schedule and give as many vaccines as possible.
I guess with Mary Washington, with the fact that there's three hospitals in this area, we're in a good spot here.
Yeah, I think we're at this point where we want to see the vaccine become available. We've talked a little bit about this before, but in those places that we're used to getting a vaccine or getting medical care. So Mary Washington's Hospital in Fredericksburg, they're kind of a big hub for administering the vaccine. But we've seen more and more pharmacies that are cropping up, and then also some primary care providers. So depending on where you get your medical care, that may be an option for getting your vaccine as well. The best place to find those locations, if you're more interested in getting the vaccine at, you know, a pharmacy or a healthcare provider, is vaccinefinder.org. Great resource. You can just type in your zip code, and mm-hmm. you can limit how far it'll search. So I think you can search within, say, 10 miles, and it'll show locations that have the vaccine. It'll show whether or not they have it in stock. It can be a little bit of an extra step depending on, you know, that location. You may need to call. They may have an online scheduling system. But vaccinefinder.org is another great resource in addition to registering through VDH at vaccinate.virginia.gov.
Again, it is National Public Health Week. We covered everything that you wanted to cover with National Public Health Week. We again say thank you to all of you who are involved with public health, because, boy, we appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
More than we ever imagined.
I think that the last thing I will offer is just a huge thank you to so many of my colleagues who really have been working long hours and continue to do so, even though it's been a long year and everybody's tired. They've maintained such a level of commitment to the community and getting us through this pandemic while maintaining our other services, that they really deserve some recognition.
Now, thank you for, yeah, there's like you say, there's so much coordination. And I just think of all the number of shows that you and I have coordinated and the number of people involved in all that they do. Even all of you having two interim health directors, and especially Dr. Bonds, who's been doing this with being over in the Charlottesville area and here, there's just been a lot of effort has been put forth to get to where we're at.
Yes, exactly. It's been a lot of hours and a lot of collaboration within the health department and within our partners and with the community. You provide a nice segue. We do have a new health director starting within the health district next Monday, which is very exciting. But in honor of Public Health Week, definitely want to give a thank you to Dr. Bonds and Dr. Stern, who have provided that health director coverage and leadership over the past year in what's been a really challenging and unique time for the field of public health.
Allison Bombs, John and Madison Eberhardt here. We'll conclude. We'll talk again about just the need to stay safe and how to get a vaccine when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Madison Eberhardt and Allison Baumes-John with the Rappahannock Area Health District here. Just a couple of minutes left, but Allison, in the health district, you're at phase two beginning today.
Beginning today, yes. Vaccines are available to anyone age 16 and over in our area. Which is a very exciting step. We were just talking during the break that a reminder that if you're listening outside the area or have family outside the area, the whole state of Virginia will be in phase two for general public by April 18th. So it really is right around the corner of when those vaccines are available. Though that doesn't mean that you'll necessarily be able to get an appointment like today or tomorrow. We still are seeing that demand is really high, and we're working to fill all the appointments, but it means that we're starting to get to where anybody is eligible for the vaccine.
And if you're a 16-year-old, what kind of vaccine do you get?
Yeah, so this is an important note because we do sometimes see people who are, say, 17 and have scheduled an appointment at one of our clinics. 16 and 17-year-olds can only get the Pfizer vaccine. So Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are for people age 18 and up. That's what they've been approved for. But 16 and 17-year-olds can get Pfizer. In our area, that's only being administered at the hospital. So just if you have a teenager around that age, or if you are a teenager around that age, there is a little bit of driving potentially involved to get to that one location.
The numbers are going up, so still be careful.
Yes.
And if you do get if I were to get it, if I hadn't gotten a shot and were to get it, is it 10 days or 2 weeks that I have to isolate or stay away?
Yeah, it's 10 days if you have COVID-19. If you've been exposed to somebody with COVID-19, though, you've been within 6 feet for at least 15 minutes while they were infectious with the virus. The recommendation for that is still 14 days of staying at home and just monitoring to see if you do go on to develop the disease.
Do all the things we've been doing. Keep the mask. Everything how we've lived the last year. And like you said, maybe just even for the next few months.
Yes, exactly. I think we've ended almost every show with this. But a reminder, please keep wearing your mask. Please keep practicing social distancing. Washing your hands. Staying home when you're sick. They're simple things, but they really do make a big difference in terms of keeping our community safe and healthy.
And you mentioned earlier, if you're 65 and older, you can call the health department at 899-4797, press 0, and you will try to get them a shot as quickly as you can.
Yes, it should be within the next week or so. So if you give us a call, we will try to get you in.
It's National Public Health Week. Allison Baumes-John and Madison Eberhardt, thank you, too. You're the two front people for the health district, but thank you for what you do, because we have the best health district in the state right here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe. That's it. Have a great weekend, and you stay safe, too. We'll see you Monday at News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.